Morning. Numbers down this morning. Hope everyone has a holiday, safe holiday tomorrow. Everyone be careful. Good to see everyone. If you will, turn to 5:2:1. We're going to sing the first two and last verse. 5:2:1, please. We've got Charles here this morning. Good to have him with us. Bring us a lesson from God's Word.
I've a home prepared for the saints of life, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together. Help us to have open hearts for what we will learn this morning. Help us to apply those things to our lives that Brother Charles is going to present to us. Dear Lord, we ask that you would be with all those who have been sick and afflicted. So many of our number have been ill. Comfort and strengthen as only you can. And those members of who have lost loved ones recently, comfort, strengthen them the only you can. Help us be better Christians, better examples. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son, for the sacrifice Jesus paid for us. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke 15, verse 8. Luke 15, verse 8. And the Pew Bible, that is page 1462. Like I say, on the Pew Bible, 1462. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently seek to find it?
Please turn to 476. 476. Sing a song and Brother Charles Savage will bring us a lesson.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. We know of the happy and free, their haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing, and all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary.
I think I'm on. I think that's on. Yeah, it sounds like it is. Okay. Good morning and welcome. Wow. Excuse me. Good morning and welcome from Zanesville. I want you to know that New Lexington is represented in Zanesville quite well. As I was driving down Blue Avenue the other day, the Bolin Funeral Home, I was having some construction work done. And I was on my way to Subway, and as I'm driving down around the corner to 146, picked up my Subway sandwich and was getting ready to go back home. I thought I would treat myself instead of having to make my own lunch, I thought I'd be lazy and get it. So here I am coming back Blue Avenue, and I see these crates in their parking lot, and they're upside down. And these gentlemen are working on the roof, and for some strange reason, as I looked over, unfortunately almost hitting the vehicle in front of me, I noticed on the side of the crate, it said, New Lexington, Ohio. The tile on the roof is from here. Thank you for coming to Zanesville, Ohio. So I love that tile. I don't know what there is about that tile that catches my attention. But when I see it, wherever I am, when I see that tile, this is where I think about, New Lexington. Now, I understand that this is the only place east of the Mississippi that this tile is made. So you have something unique here. It's a shame the rest of the world doesn't know it, okay? But I think of that constantly when I see the tile in various houses in Zanesville, that I know where it came from, here. And as usual, every Sunday morning that I drive from Zanesville to here, it's a beautiful drive. Now, I understand in the fall, it's more beautiful from here to Athens in the fall when all the colors, because the colors from here to Zanesville, for some strange reason, just aren't quite the same. But you know, that's a different story. This morning, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 15. That's where we were the last time I was here. We talked about sheep. Now, hopefully, everyone's gone out and bought a sheep. They have sheep that they're mowing their lawn at this point in time? Probably not. Okay, anyway, so we're going to talk about starting in verse 8. And I only had him read one verse this morning. Otherwise, he could have read the other two and I wouldn't have needed to come. my sermon would have been done, sort of. But anyway, let's take a look at the parable of the lost coin. Have you ever lost anything? I lose stuff all the time, my glasses, my car keys. So far, I haven't been able to lose my credit card. That's going to get me in trouble one of these days. But this lady has lost some money. Have you ever lost any money? Yeah, you're shaking your head, yes. I've lost money. I actually lost a paycheck once, and it took me 2 weeks to find it. That wasn't pretty. I lost a paycheck, and I had stuck it in a book, thinking that, because I carried this book around with me for a long time, and I thought, I got home and lost the paycheck. And I was 2 weeks looking for this paycheck, and I was ready to pull my hair out, try to figure out how I was going to pay my bills. And then for some reason, one night when I wasn't sleeping very well, I picked up this book and started reading. And there's my paycheck. And I'm like, oh, I'll just take it to the bank tomorrow and put it in the checking account, pay my bills. No, the next day was Sunday. So I guess it was going to wait a couple more days before I could do anything with it. This lady, whoever she is, I don't know who she is, but she is a lady, and she must have a little bit of means to her, a little bit. Now, this is going to take a little bit of interpretation to get to. They didn't have banks back then. Some of you probably had parents, grandparents, maybe even yourselves, that lived through the Depression. And the one place that you didn't trust was the bank. You didn't trust the bank with your money during the 1930s because banks were going out of business. Okay? Farmers were going out of business. My grandmother Honecker, who lived in Coshocton, when she was a kid, when she was a child, teenager, if she ever had any money, she would hide it somewhere on the farm, near the farmhouse. It would slip it into the cracks in the floor, or hide it under a baseboard in the living room, because she would know where the money was. It was safe. But if you put it in the bank, it may not be safe. I didn't live at that time. I don't know what happened at that time. But if you remember correctly, during the late 1920s and the 30s, gangsters would rob banks to get money. Now, some of them would take the money and turn right around and give it to farmers to pay their bills, but not all of them, okay? So not all of them were Robin Hood, some of them were just robbers. And so the whole idea was, most of the time, people hung on to their money. Now, women sometimes, married women sometimes, would take a coin, a chain, or a piece of string or rope or leather, and they would punch holes in their coins, and the coins would be displayed around their neck. That was their savings. You had your savings around your neck, particularly if something happened to your husband. If he died, you were out of money, because he more than likely provided the income. So that was kind of like the idea. You had your savings account, you had your money with you. It was, unfortunately, it was on display, but it was around your neck. Okay. Now, I went to a little bit of trouble to do this. I'm going to have to make sure that I can return it when I get it. I have a Roman coin. It's not very big. It's not the widow's mite, okay? This is a little bigger, okay? This one is silver. So, can you imagine having 10 pieces of something that looked like this? I unfortunately have to give it back. They know they lent it to me, so if I don't bring it back, I'm gonna owe somebody a lot of explanation and a lot of money. Okay, but I borrowed this coin. This is from King Philip, or excuse me, Emperor Philip III. Second, sorry. King, or Emperor Philip II, had to get the numbers right. Okay. Anyway, so, if you have 10 of these. Now, what they're talking about here is silver. She has silver coins. It's not copper. She has a little bit of money, income to her, okay? You could tell how much money that you had by the kind of coins that you had. If they were copper, more than likely it was either small change or you didn't have a lot of money to you to start with, okay? If you had silver coins, more than likely you were somewhere close to being middle class. Okay, middle class doesn't actually really exist until much, much, much later. But if you had gold coins, you were somebody. You had money. Because gold didn't come easily at this point in time for most people. And by the way, in the 1930s, they stopped minting gold coins in the United States because people would hoard it. It was a depression. And the government determined that financially the United States was in better shape if we just make less gold coins and use paper. Okay, so if you're a coin collector, you probably already know that. But anyway, this is kind of like what one of the silver coins would have looked like. I'd pass it around, but you know, things can get lost. So if you want to see it, I'll show it to you later. But anyway, so this lady has 10 of them. Okay, now I have in my pocket this one. I can lose if I need to. Nope, that's a quarter. That won't work. That won't work. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Charles? You lost it. No, you didn't lose it. You couldn't have lost it. You just had it. Aha. Yeah, they're all quarters. Nope. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Now, for some strange reason, in another country, they decided to do this differently. This is a penny. This is a penny. You see how large this is? That definitely not come from the United States. Okay, this came from Ireland. This is an Irish penny. And I get to hang on to this one. This one's mine. It's still not worth more than 3 cents, but anyway, there you go. But anyway, can you imagine you? I don't know what your income is for the year, okay? I don't know what your income is for the year. But it says here, the woman having 10 coins, silver coins, if she loses one, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? Okay, now let's do a little bit of math. You got 10 coins, take away one, what percentage have you just lost? Huh? Yeah, you've lost 10%. You've lost 10% of whatever it is that you own. Okay, let's take your income, whatever your income is. You're about to lose 10% of your income for the year in one coin. What are you going to do? It's somewhere in your house. What are you going to do for that 10%? You're going to tear that house apart looking for your 10%. Are you not? I lose 10% of my income. First thing I'm going to do is say, honey, what'd you do with it? Where is it? Did you stick it in an envelope? No. You had it last. Oh, okay. Where have I been for the last hour? Where have I been for the last 2 hours? Okay, I'm going to tear my house apart looking for 10% of my income. I don't care whether your income is $1,000 or $10,000. You lose 10% of your income, you're desperate. Because that's 10%. Okay? Now, really in the long run, you'll want to know where your 10% was. You ask Biden. Okay, there you go. He took your 10% plus 18 more. Okay, but anyway, she's going to be desperate. She's lost 10% of whatever income she has at that moment. Okay, now, when did she lose it? Oh, this is always a good question. Where did I lose my keys? When did I lose my keys? I got to think. Okay, now the question is, when did she lose it? You don't know. You have no idea when she lost that coin. Bible doesn't say. Jesus didn't tell us. But you know when she decided to look for it? At night. How do I know that? Because it says she lit a lamp. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not about to light a lamp in the middle of the day. It's sunshiny. More than likely, I got a lot of windows in my house. I should be able to see a silver coin. Because silver shines, does it not? Okay, yeah, silver shines. Copper, it might be shiny, it might not. But silver shines. So when did she look for this thing? She looked for this thing in the middle of the night. She looked for this because she had to light a lamp. Lamps bring light to things that shine, or should shine anyway. Okay, so she had to light a lamp. Now, I don't know about you, but my wife will turn on every light in our house to find something that she can't find. And I mean every light in the house. And then I have to go around and turn them all off. Are you the saver? I'm the guy who goes around and turns lights off, and my wife is the one who turns them on. You got a relationship in your family like that? My wife and I are about to be married for 16 years, and that is the story of our lives. She turns lights on, and I turn them off. Yeah. She dirties the dishes, and I wash them. Okay, that kind of thing. That's how our lives are. But anyway, so she lights a lamp. Now, and by the way, it seems like she's only got one. So she probably lights the lamp, and then she moves it from room to room, and she sweeps the entire house. Okay? She sweeps the house. I don't know how many rooms are in this house. Probably not very many. Probably only two or three. Probably a small house. But, okay, can you imagine what it would be like? You have to clean this entire church building looking for a coin. Remember, the coin is 10% of whatever it is. That 10% donation to the church, somebody's lost it. Okay, now you're getting the point. You're going to sweep the house. You're going to sweep the church building. Okay? And you're going to carefully look. You're going to get on your hands and knees and look. You're going to look behind every crack and crevice. Okay? My mother told me a story about my father. The very first paycheck he got after they first got married. It was a 2-week paycheck from Coca-Cola in Coshocton. He was a driver. He had laid the paycheck on top of the dresser, the only dresser they had. Okay. And my dad went off to work the next day, the next morning. My mother went to take his paycheck to the bank and couldn't find it. Newly married couple and lost a paycheck already. And so my mother said she called Coca-Cola Company and they let my dad answer the phone. Okay. Today we just have our own cell phones, we just answer the phones. But back then that was not how it was. And she checked to see if my dad had lost his paycheck. No, he'd left it on the dresser. So now my mother has to look for it. When my father comes home, he helps her tear the apartment apart looking for the paycheck. For some strange reason, the paycheck had slipped behind the dresser and was standing up next to the wall. So when they looked on the floor, they didn't see the piece of paper because it's standing up. They looked for that paycheck for 2 days. When they finally found it, there was a celebration in the house. Now today, that paycheck probably wouldn't look very big to my parents, but it was all they had. They had, because they lived from paycheck to paycheck. Okay. This lady has to search her entire house. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, she's on her hands and knees. She's going frantic. Okay, if you can't find something, you begin to panic a little. I can't find my medication. I can't find my car keys. I can't find my paycheck. We as human beings, we begin to panic. We start thinking in our heads, okay, what did I do with it? Am I crazy? After 2 hours of looking for something, you go, am I crazy? What's wrong with me? Yeah, this poor lady, she's probably doing the same. The necklace that she had on that had 9 coins on it, she noticed that one of them was missing. Okay, that was her savings. Okay. However, there's a happy ending to this story. It's only three verses long, so we don't have to go very far. There's a happy ending to this story. She finds it. She finds the coin. You notice it doesn't tell us where she found it? It might have been under her bed. It might have been under the lampstand. It might have been in the doorway where she came in. She might have dropped it somehow when she was coming into the house or when she was leaving and just noticed it was gone when she came back. It might have been in the kitchen. It might have fell into a bowl. It might have been actually under the broom. Who knows? Yeah, can you imagine that? You've been sweeping all this time and come find out it was right where you picked up the broom. That'd be awful. But anyway, and then she found it. And what she do? She calls her friends and neighbors. Now, we've heard this before from the story of the sheep. The shepherd gets a hold of his friends and neighbors and say, "Hey, I found my sheep." Okay, the question is, why would we tell our friends and neighbors that we found our coin? Because this was important to her. Her friends and neighbors more than likely are just like she is. They don't have a great deal of money, but what money they have is important to them. It's something precious. Ladies, you lose your diamond out of your engagement ring? Okay, that's going to mean something to you. Whenever your husband gave it to you, that diamond, whether big or small or anything else, that means something to you. Okay, you lose your wedding band, oh, you're going to go frantic looking for it. You're going to ask people, "Hey, I was in the store yesterday. Did you happen to find my wedding band?" Okay. "Hey, I was in the grocery store the other day. Did you find my diamond ring? I lost a diamond." We had somebody who actually did that at the skating rink, lost their wedding band, and they were frantic. I didn't find it, somebody else did, so that's not my story to tell, but I know that somebody lost it. And it was found, I think, the next day or so when the person at the shift was cleaning, and it was very, very important to them. They were frantic. They were looking for I guess they tore their car apart, had swept it out. Looked in their own home, their garage. They looked in the parking lot of the skating rink and couldn't find it. It was actually in the skating rink, I guess. That would have been terrible. That means something to you. This coin means her income. This means salvation for her, a financial salvation for her, part of her income. Okay, so she tells her friends and neighbors. She says, she gets them together and she says, "Rejoice with me." What's it mean to rejoice? It means to be happy, doesn't it? Okay, you want your friends to be happy with you because you found your coin. You found what you've lost. Regardless of what it is, it means something to you. Rejoicing is something that we don't do a lot in our society today because, it's just all of our information is just out there, which is really sad. I like the idea we have cell phones and the internet, but then again, I don't. Because we become numb. We become so used to good news and bad news all the time that we don't think anything about it. If I had really great news to share with you, would that make you excited? Or would you go, heard that story like 10 times from lots of people. Okay, we don't get excited about those things anymore. I don't know why we don't. I think it's because we're just overwhelmed with all kinds of good news, lots of bad news. Turn on the television and you get lots of bad news. But this lady has good news for her friends and neighbors. "I've lost my coin. I found it." Okay. The shepherd, he lost his sheep and he found it. He had 99 of them. She had 10 coins. She still had 90% of her income. If you're in school, if you taught school, 90% is still an A. Don't know why, but it still is, okay? I skidded by on 90% a lot of time when I was in school. But it's not 100%. She wanted her 100% because it was hers. Okay? That's important. This guy had 99 sheep. And he had 100 sheep, but he left the 99 all by themselves. probably being watched by an assistant, something similar to this, the shorter version of David, okay? And he goes out and he looks for one. You notice he didn't, the shepherd did not send an assistant looking for the sheep. He went looking for the sheep, the owner. You notice she didn't have a maid to look for that coin. She went looking for the coin because it was hers. They were taking ownership. They were taking responsibility. They were taking a personal interest in that coin, in that sheep. And I think there's a really good reason why Jesus gives these parables the way they do, because he wants us to be personally responsible for what we know and for what we do and the gifts that we've been given, whatever those may be. The shepherd had 100 sheep. He was being responsible even for the last one. She had 10 coins. She was trying to be responsible for every one of those coins. Everyone. Okay, you could say, "Well, what's that mean to me?" Okay, if you have a talent, are you being responsible for your talent, or do you waste it? Do you just give it away? Do you not even pay attention to it? Are you responsible for, do you have souls that you help bring to Christ? Do you keep tabs on them? Do you help them? Do you look for them, because they may not be here anymore? Okay. We are responsible for what we've been given. She says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost." She's claiming responsibility. I lost it. I got to find it. I got to get it back. Okay. For some of us, yeah, it's a coin. For some of us, it's what we have. It's all we have. It may all be all we have. There's a story about a company that made a product. It was running 3 shifts. But over a period of time, the product was in less and less and less demand. The enthusiasm for the company became less and less and less amongst the workers. They could see their jobs disappearing. Until one night, during a third shift, one gentleman who had only been at the factory for a short time, got really angry. And he walked up to the manager and he said, "This is really sad. We make a really great product. Why is it that we're losing our jobs?" And the manager said, "I don't know." He says, "How many of these did we make today?" He said, "We made 300. So the manager, for some strange reason, gets out a big marker. He walks in the middle of the manufacturing company floor, and he writes down 300 and draws a circle around it. Everybody on that shift knew exactly what it was about. The next shift comes in, looks at 300. The idea was, we can do better. We can make 310. They misinterpreted the information on the first shift. So everybody put in a little more energy and made 310. Erased the number and put 310 on the floor. The second shift came along and looked at the number and said, "We can do better than that." The manager looked and said, "We can sell that." And he got busy. And they got busy. And they made 325. The third shift came along and said, "They made 325. We can do better than that." And so they got enthusiastic about their product all over again and started selling and selling and selling and making and making. And the company revives itself. all because somebody misinterpreted the information and got busy. It would have been easy for this lady to say, I got 9 coins. I'll find it later. It would have been easy for that shepherd to say, I've got 99. The wolves probably got it anyway. No big deal. But that's not what happened. What happened was the shepherd went and looked. The lady went and looked and found. Sometimes the idea is we have to find ourselves. How do you do that? Well, likewise, I say to you, there is joy, joy, in the presence of who? The angels of God over one sinner who repents, one who finds and comes back. Who's happy? I have no idea what happy angels sound like. I hope to find out someday. Of course, if I don't, I can hear booing at the end of the line. This is not going to be good. But what do happy angels sound like? I am not sure. But I tell you what, it must be something. Because there's going to be joy. What is joy? Happiness. Over what? One person who repents, one person who's been wronged or been wrong and brought back into the presence of God. One. Can you imagine what happens when we have two or five? The joy must be unbelievable. But to me, the scripture says, everyone counts. Every sheep counts. Every coin counts. Every soul counts. And who's going to rejoice? The angels. God rejoices for everyone who repents. That means for everyone that comes back. Everyone. It doesn't say baptized. It says repents. That once you repent, though, everything should else fall in place. Christianity is actually quite simple. We hear the God's word. We repent of the things that we've done wrong. We just say we're sorry and we try to fix them. Repenting is not just saying you're sorry. Repenting means you're going to say you're sorry and turn your life around. You're going to flip it over. You're going to go the opposite direction of bad to good. Okay? You're going to be baptized. Okay? You have to confess that you actually believe in Jesus Christ. If we don't believe in Jesus Christ, everything else has been for naught. We can believe in God, but if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, everything else doesn't matter. If we don't believe in Jesus Christ, then we're Jewish or we're Gentiles. That's it. Okay. We get baptized. And then we get to start a whole new life all over again as found people, found souls. And if you need to come forward as we find ourselves going toward God, and being in God, then let us know and we will be glad to help you as we stand and as we sing.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within me. Sweetly the drums are
Please turn to 134. 134, as we prepare our minds to take communion. I want to thank Charles for a fine lesson. 134, please.
All we come together, all we sing and praise, here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we keep in memory all that thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread.
The emblems this morning. Recently, I was getting on the iPad, and that thing has me profiled pretty good anymore. And these pop-ups come on, and they had to do with criticisms of the Church of Christ. And I had to see what some of those were. And a couple that I looked at, one of them was about authority. All you talk about is authority. And also, are always quoting a scripture for everything. And I was thinking about that. Yes, that's true. And I don't know how we would do that any other way. I am a creation of my Lord. He's the creator. So how am I going to please him if I don't know how to do something or why I'm doing it, when I'm doing it, what way I'm going to do it? There's only one way for me to know that, is to look into the scripture. And to make sure we all speak the same thing, we need to quote what he said, not what I said. So that would be the reasoning I would have for that. Also, we want to be the church that we read about in the New Testament. We have examples there, we have commands there. So we watch very closely that we're doing like that. The one verse that comes to mind, like Acts 20, verse 7, that's mentioned many times, if you look at the context of that, Paul came to that place and he had missed the services that time. He hadn't got to meet with him. He waited a whole week to be there on the first day of the week. He stayed so he would be able to meet with the church because he knew they were going to meet on the first day of the week. And you got to think about who this is. This is Paul, the apostle. So he was in approval that they met upon the first day of the week. And we have the exact words of Christ when we want to know how to observe the Lord's Supper. We know that we have the bread, which represents his body. Those were his words. And the fruit of the vine, which represents his precious blood that he shed for us. There is a song in a book that we used to use last century. And I don't think we've probably ever sang this here in this century. But I can remember this being sung many times in past years. And it was in the other books because of that, and it's not in the book we use now. But I thought it was very fitting. This song explains how they worshiped on the first day of the week in the New Testament. and it has the scriptures there for it. And I'd like to read it quickly as we focus on these things this morning on the first day of the week. First verse. Upon the first day of the week, our Savior came forth from the grave. He died, was buried, then arose to reign, to triumph, and to save. And that would be from Mark 16, verse 9. Second verse. Upon the first day of the week, disciples met to break the bread and drink the cup in memory of him whose blood for us was shed. So that's speaking about Acts 20 and verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, let each of us lay by in store as blessed and prospered by the Lord, the King of Kings, whom we adore. And that has to do with the collection which we do. And that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. And finally, the fourth verse, and upon this day, beloved John saw Christ and heard his trumpet voice. We too in spirit worship him. With prayer and song our hearts rejoice. And that would have to do with a book that we're studying right now on Wednesday nights, Revelations. So that came from Revelations chapter 1 and verse 10. The chorus of this song goes as following. Though others may forsake the Lord, yet we are here thy truth to seek. And we've just sung that in the other song that Tom just led us in to worship in truth and in spirit and truth. And that would come from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 as well. Thy holy presence comforts us, dear Lord, upon the first day of the week. So that's why we sing these things. And we take them straight from the scripture. We have examples of it and commands and things. How else would we know the truth? The truth is so important that it's mentioned in spirit and in truth. So this morning we also have the words of Christ that do this in remembrance of me. So we have to think back at this time. And also it's a time of self-examination as we remember our Lord, what he gave, that great sacrifice that we might have the hope that we have in our hearts that our souls will live eternally with God, our righteous God. At this time, let us go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for the blessings of this day and for your great love, Father, that you had this plan that would bring us back to you. We're so thankful for our Lord and Savior that he was willing to go through that horrible suffering and death that he did for our sins. As we partake of this bread, help us to be mindful of it, Father, and be mindful of it each day of our lives that you bless us with. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for this cup which contains the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood of our Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, as we partake of it, that our minds are drawn to those scenes that we know were so horrible for our Lord and Savior, that he was willing to do that we might have our sins forgiven if we are faithful and obedient to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Also, that was mentioned in this song, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, about our giving. We have that example that they gave upon the first day of the week, and this is as they've been prospered, and that would be to help the church. And at this time, we'll go to God in prayer and thank him for the blessings of this day. Heavenly Father, we thank thee now for the blessings you bestow upon us daily and the means that we have, Father, of living. And we pray that now that we give back to you a portion of that that you blessed us with. We pray, Father, that we would serve thee in other ways as well, in being giving in our service to thee, and to be able to promote your word to others, Father, realizing what grace you have offered us. We ask this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I would say I'd like to thank the young children for coming this morning, and bring your adults with you next time as well. So it's good to see all these young kids.
It's good to see everyone this morning. If we'll get a bulletin, there's a lot in there. Holly's done a good job on this. Appreciate that. One member of the camp coming up here in a few weeks. Keep that in your prayers. Hopefully we'll have some baptisms there. Our Friday night saying coming up next month, June 28th, 7 to 9. Hopefully that'll turn out good. I haven't had one for years. One member of the graduates graduating. Hope they'll have a great success in their lives. If anyone have anyone needs to be added or anything going on, a lot in here, please get one. Hope everyone has a good holiday and be safe. I got a few cards here Ernie gave them to me. Church of Christ, I thank you so very much for thinking of me with the graduation card. I also thank you for the Bible. This is Elijah Baker. That's Dave and Rosie's grandson. So very thankful for, he's thankful for that. Also, God bless your loving heart. This is from Dave and Rosie. Thank you for becoming someone who shares the light of God's love in so much that you can do, in so many special ways. We thank our church family and friends for the beautiful Bible, all the nice cards. It meant so much to Elijah and us. In Christian love, Dave and Rosa. That's nice there. Got one more. This is from to our brothers and sisters at New Lex Church of Christ. Thank you so much for the thoughtful card, but mostly for remembering us in your prayers. It is a blessed feeling to know someone is praying for you. Ronald saw the lung spaceless on Monday. The doctor has requested a biopsy, but he did say that he does not think that he has cancer. Thank you all for praying for Ronald. It was great to visit with you. We hope to do it again in Christian love. Ronald and Tammy Coldell. That's nice too. Does anyone have anything? Jared?
Real quick, everybody, if any of you missed any part of the message today for any reason, it's going to be on the website no later than 6 o'clock today. It's always there. The service, it's always posted by about 6 or 7, probably earlier. You'll notice that Charles was wearing one of those tie-clip style microphones, so everything got picked up. Barring any equipment issues, it'll be there by 6 o'clock, so if you missed it, you can hear it again.
Have everyone stand for the closing prayer.
Our Almighty Father in heaven, so thankful, Lord God, for this first day of the week, Lord. You have led us together here in your Son's name, Lord, to worship thee, Lord, and praise you, Lord thy God. So thankful for what you did do for us up on the cross, Lord. Lord, we're thankful for everything you do for us, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that sit among us, Lord, that you reach down and touch them, Lord, and those that spiritually weak, Lord, they could be lifted up, Lord, our God. Lord, as we remember those that went on before us, Lord, their soldiers and their loved ones, Lord, and their brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord God, for what you did do for us on the cross, Lord, as we celebrate this Memorial Day, Lord, and we remember thee, Lord, and knowledge of your will, Lord. Lord, just be with us, Lord, as we go home, Lord, and bring us back, Lord, and help us to reach out among our friends and neighbors, Lord, each day of our life, Lord, and try to bring them to thee, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. So thank you, Lord, for your many blessings down through the week, Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask forgiveness of our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those trespasses against us. Jesus Christ's name.